the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Perhaps we could have a word of prayer. And our God, we're looking to you. Thank you for that we could assemble on this thy day to have all of the advantage in the light of our yesterdays, looking ahead our God to tomorrow. So deal with us even now that we would have the wonderful benefits that belong to those that sit before you. So we're looking to you as we honor your presence collectively together, thanking you very, very much. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Remember in our study of the Gospel of John, you're looking at the last living apostle, and you're looking at God's man to give you a picture from Genesis all the way to his day, 98 AD, 95 AD, to his time. And in the light of that, that he helps us to understand all of the Bible is all about God. Like we shared together, the character of the Word of God is the gospel. The content of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the content of the glass, the content is water. The content of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you read and understand from Genesis to Revelation, God is giving you the good news that God is God. He says what he means and means what he says. He said it. And we share together in the light of that, that God sent his Son. And the wonderful purpose of the Gospel of John is to present the Lord Jesus Christ, God of very God. And what are we to do with that wonderful presentation? We're to understand the invisible God has made himself visible so that we could honor him and know him. And thus, with that in mind, and we reminded ourselves in the messages that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and Adam and Eve's sin, they were to represent and reflect God, the invisible God in a visible creation. So that Adam and Eve and all human beings, when you saw them, you would realize God. Sin came along and took God out of the picture. So all we have are humans with the rest of the animals, creation, flowers, bugs, birds. Where's God? And now, the Lord Jesus Christ has come along in a very special, unique way to present himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, with that in mind, the invisible God becomes visible. And so all of creation is to be explained, to be understood in the light of who he is. You want to understand a law, science, whatever you want, you'll have to start with God, a wonderful, wonderful creator. Now, having said that and keeping that in the forefront, if you would, in John, chapter 5. We share together the two things that God has given to us by way of his Son, eternal life. We human beings are dead in their relationship to God. They need to be alive. They can't be alive in the relationship to God unless they know God as a Savior. You can't be alive in relationship to earth unless you breathe the air. And your heart beats blood, you are not alive. In order to be a relationship to God, you've got to have a relationship to him through the person of Jesus Christ. as you have a relationship to earth by the air and the flow of blood. Now, God, so life. But when God gives us eternal life as a gift, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives eternal life, a unique personal relationship. That relationship is meant to be lived, outlived. It is a relationship. You have physical life, and every single moment you express that life. You're breathing even when you sleep, when you go to work, home, school, whatever you do. You're exercising life. You're living the life. You're living your physical life. What are we to do when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? To exhibit life. Not have something in a package you put away, but to have something in your heart. A life to be lived here and now. And our Lord Jesus Christ sets the example as perfect man in the light of perfect God. He sets the example of what did you design us for, God? How are we to enjoy you, the living and only God? John chapter 5, verse 19, remember. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do how much? Nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he, the Father, does, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, verse 20, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. In other words, all that the Father does are reflected and found in the outworking of the Son's life. And he will show him to put on display, to make very clear, to exhibit, to expose. He will show him greater works than these. Why are you going to take our Lord Jesus Christ, and why does he have such a ministry? So that you would pay attention to him. He's not just any man, woman, walking planet Earth. He isn't a Jew of Jews. He is the Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see him is to see the purpose of God. The purpose of God is to be found in the design of being man, of mankind being made in the image and likeness of God. Now, in the light of verse 19 and 20, all that the Father does is seen in the Son. The Son is going to show, going to make clear. And the Son is delighted to enjoy the Father. The Father is delighted to enjoy the Son. The Son enjoys being out from the Father as the source. The Father enjoys the Son being out from who he is. A unique personal relationship. Father, Son. Now that's hard to come by today because of the humanness and all that goes with it, good and bad. But when it comes to perfection, the Son perfectly represents the Father. The Son isn't the Father. The Son represents the Father. To see the Son is to see the Father. Now, in the light of that, over in John chapter 1, just to get the thought. John chapter 1, he's going to expose, to show, to make known. And you'll remember in John 1, verse 18, we read, share together, No man hath seen God at any time, the invisible God. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, in the inwards of the Father, he hath declared, he has exposed, he has exegeted him. You want to know God? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see God in all of his wonderful magnificence, reduced as it were to a human body. Now, in the light of that, over if you would, please, to chapter 2 and verse 18. What did they want to know of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 18, chapter 2. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest, there's the verb again, show us, shall put on display, give some evidence. Showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things, give us a sign, you're doing all of these things. Hang on to that. Over, if you would, to chapter 10 of John. Chapter 10 and in verse 32. Jesus answered them, Many good works my Father works and I work. Many good works have I showed unto you. Where do they come from? My Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Of all the things the Father evidences his person by his working in the Son, find one of the things that I have done that you could have be justified in stoning me. Chapter 14. In chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show, expose the Father, show us the Father? Well, you have seen the Father. The Father has shown himself in and by the Son of God. Now, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, back over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, in verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, is loving the Son, and showing him all things that himself, the Father, is doing. So you want to see the Father. The Father does all things. And where? How do we see what the Father, God the Father, does? Watch the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because all of the things that he does and says and is represents the Father. You'll know the Father by all that the Father does and is in the Son. Now, having said that, show us, thus the end of verse 20, he will show him greater works, greater, more than these. He's going to show more than these. That's right. Now, just for a sample, here's his ministry, his 3.5 years of ministry, and here we are in the first one moving down the road. Matthew chapter 21. And picking up in verse 14, And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful, amazing, astonishing, admiring, to be admired, wow, where did these wonderful works come from? When they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So here they are, God is healing, point. All kinds of things he did, over and over and over. John will tell us in John 20, if he was a book to be written about all that he did, it couldn't hold the information. And he had to heal hundreds, maybe thousands, who knows. Every time there was a group, wow. Wow, every one of them would have a testimony. Wow. Now, over to Luke. Luke chapter 24. And the point is that God did many, many, many wonderful things that are not recorded. And here in Luke chapter 24, if I can, in verse 12, 24 and 12, you'll see the word to wonder, to be amazed, to be astonished. 24 and 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering, amazed, astonished in himself at that which has come to pass. Here's an empty, here's the body gone, and the form of them all wrapped up, just laying there, and the body, but nothing's in the body. Nothing's in the wrapping. The body's gone, I should say. And Peter was amazed by it. Wonder. The Lord said, I'm going to show many wonderful things by my son. You have to pay attention to him. Verse 41. Luke 24, 41. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, were amazed, astonished, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat and food? And one thing after another, they were brought face to face with the very fact, one wonderful thing after another, that God in Christ showed all of these wonderful things. Chapter 10, if you would, in John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10 again. And God the Father is going to show many, many, many more things. So that the Jewish community had no question that he evidenced over and over and over again who he was by his works. John chapter 10, again, you'll remember it, and look at it. 10 and 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they, those works, bear witness and record of me, who I am, God in the flesh. But, verse 26, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, even as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus, again, as we read a moment ago, Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed unto you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, and the Jews were very, very clear. You said you're God. We see all the works, and all the works point to the Father. We understand the evidence of the works comes to you are showing those works. And you are saying you are God. And that got them. You're God. Uh-huh. And that got them. Wow. Now, and thus if I may, in verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and set apart, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because, I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that what for? That you may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. I want you to know the Father, God the Father is going to express himself in his Son. And the Son of God is going to express the wonderful person of the God the Father. And to see the Son is to see the Father. Wow. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and picking up, please, in verse 10, 14 and 10. Believest thou not that I am in my Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, verse 11, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Shall he do also. And greater works than these, greater in quantity, not in greatness. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So, what am I looking at? Verse 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I am doing right now, John 5, everything I do nothing of myself. I do that which honors the Father. And those works that I do, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to have a life in order to live. You're going to live like I do. How? Live as a son in the Son, looking to the Father, and God is going to be your God and your life to outwork itself on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute existence. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what do they call it? Eternal life. When does eternal life begin, like you did on Wednesday? When you come to know the Lord as Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can never die. Your life never dies. Your relationship to the body will cease. Your relationship to God goes on forever. It can never be disrupted. Disease, death, deceit, disappointment, nothing interferes with that life. Now, no one interferes with that life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and thus God is demonstrating to the angels, good and bad, his wonderful person and grace, his mercy. Remember, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, and humans are to demonstrate the grace of God, that they don't have to be judged. They're going to take the judgment of God in the person of Jesus Christ and be saved. And they're going to prove that God is fair and righteous and gracious and merciful and loving. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's person, his plan, his purpose, all of that is put forth for the glory of God. God is going to demonstrate who he is, and all of it is for his glory and for his honor. Back over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. God is what he's doing is to demonstrate who he is. And what he's going to do in the believing heart is to demonstrate who he is. John chapter 1, picking up, please, verse 14. The Word was made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And we beheld, what, his glory? Where did the glory, where did the majesty, where does that which makes gives such an expression, to make such an impression that it demands an expression from us? Glory, wealth, worth, weight. Wealth, worth, weight. Three W's. Glory, glory. The glory of God, the glory of God. Wow. That which demands and makes an impression of God's magnificence. And thus, our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's wonderful, wonderful glory, His wonderful, wonderful grace. You would recall and keep in mind when we, in Colossians, you know all these things. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you the what? Christ in you the hope of glory. What are you here? The glory, to glorify God. We're supposed to have a life and live it that glorifies God, that makes such an impression that you have such a relationship to God that people will have to say, wow, where did that come from? How do you have that? How do you handle things in such a way? Because of a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And thus, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. Would you go over with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Lord Jesus Christ is to show the glory of God. He is the glory of God. Now, here we are, believers, and God, we're to represent your resurrected life on planet Earth until you come. So now, chapter 17, in the prayer in the upper room before he goes out to the crucifixion, he says this to God. Verse 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Glorify. My Father, all my Father does is going to be show up in the Son. When you see it in the Son, you're going to come back to the Father. Where did all that stuff come from in Jesus Christ? From God the Father. You're going to have to go look at the Son and come back to the Father. When he sees the believing heart, a Son of God, which is you, I hope. You have to say, how can you be a Son of God? Truly. Because of the Son. The Son. So I am a Son. You. Because of the Son. When you see the Son, you have to see the Father. That's why we cry, the Spirit of God. What's the first word he teaches you? Abba what? Father. Over and over. Say, Father. 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 And when we do that, you say, how could you say that? We aren't praying to someone out there in a total Zeus or a star or astrology or a totem pole or something. We're talking to God. In what kind of way? We have a life kind of relationship that allows us to talk to the Father, as a Son. And the world has to pay attention to that. So now, hang on to that. Chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, and the reason that thy Son also may glorify you. In other words, when the Son manifests all the Father's life, then you have to say, where did it come from? Where did the Son get it? He got it from the Father. Now, over, if you would, please, to verse 5. O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so I'm going back as God the Son, and I want to enjoy all of that wonderful, wonderful relationship that I had before I put on a human flesh, human body. Now, in the light of that, in chapter 17, verse 10, all mine, said the Lord Jesus, are thine, they belong to the Father, and all that belongs to the Father, thine, are mine, belong to the Son. And, by the way, the whole thing belongs to you, Father, and I am glorified in the believing heart. I am glorified in the believing heart. I am the Son who reflects the Father. In the believing heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't, where did you ever become a child of God? A son of God. Not a church member, a believer, a child of God, a son of God, because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I want them to have, I give them, said God the Son, the glory that I had in the person of Jesus Christ in his humanity. I give that to them, that glory, not our glory, his glory. You're going to give me that unique personal character, conduct that belongs to you, so that I can be a son in the Son. And so when you see, you're going to see the Son in a Son. That's what it's all about. Wow. Now, having said that, and God is going to give us glory for that reason. He didn't give us to run our business or to raise, to all of those things are good, work, home, school, play. But that isn't the reason you're alive. As a believer, the reason you're alive is to reflect life, to reflect and live a life that all the world might pay attention, that there is a God, and God is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. Let's start putting it to work then a little bit. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And you will note, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, going directly to verse 20, for all the promises of God in Christ, in him, all the promises of God in him are yea, yes, and in him, amen, so be it. Unto, in what direction? What is the purpose of all these promises? Unto, in the direction of the glory of God, in the glory of God. And where is the glory of God to be found? In the believing heart, in us. So God, I give them my glory. The glory, the wealth, the worth, the weight, that which demands, that expression that demands, that inspires, that demands attention. And God, you give that to the believing heart so that we can comfortably, confidently say what? My Father. And we shared it 100,000 times. I was able to say that, and I am. My Father is long deceased. But I was able to say, and I'm able to say now, my Father. My Father, Aaron F. Parsons. Not a doubt, not a question. It's for real. I'm able more than that to say, my Father God. Not because of my human birth, but because of my spiritual birth. My human birth qualifies me to be a human. My spiritual birth qualifies me to be a son. Where did you get your spiritual birth? From God. Where did you get your human birth? From your human father. Where do you get spiritual birth? From the Father. My Father. And thus we have all the promises of God are to be found in the believing heart. And so we're to enjoy them. We can't exercise them all. They're all ours. And God will outwork them. You don't even know them. Just think of Deuteronomy 28, etc. And here's the blessing. Blessings when you come in, blessing when you come out, blessing, 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 wherever you go. Wherever you go, God said, I'm there. And their blessings will chase you wherever you go. I'll be wherever you are and bless you as my son. What do you think of that? Wherever you are my son. Wow. That's a marvelous thing. A marvelous thing. God. And all those promises, I don't know them. But you do. So God, you exercise all those blessings. Blessings when it come in, blessings in the field, blessing everywhere you go. You have to make all that work out just as you did for Israel when they would trust you. So God, here we are, and all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Wow. Now, over if you would please to Ephesians. And you know, whatever you do, whether you eat, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it to the one, to the glory of God. How can I do that? How can you do it? You say, well, what spectacular thing am I going to do? What are you going to do that's so spectacular? I'm going to take a drink. Ordinary, but extraordinary. Because I'm able to do that as a son of God. Here's all the humans, and here you are, a child of God, doing the same thing they do. Only the difference is, you do it having a unique relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ, and they don't. They need to, they should, but they don't. So now, in Ephesians, picking up if I can. Ephesians 1, if I may, in verse 6. To the praise, we'll just pick up our word and let it just sort of drive home its truth to us. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein hath made us accepted, the word accepted, highly favored in his beloved. Remember, the word accepted is only used of the Virgin Mary. She is highly favored. Among all women, she is accepted. Highly favored. The Virgin Mary. Wow. To carry the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is highly accepted and highly favored. They are the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So thus, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. What is our great purpose? Is to live a life, to have a whole nother life. You're made a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away, all what? All things have become new. God did that the moment you were saved. Most believers don't even know it ever happened. Wow. A new creature. Wow. A unique relationship to God. Uh-huh. Wow. Chapter Ephesians 1 and verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his who first trusted in Christ. Wow. Verse 14, which the Spirit of God, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's the you as a believer, unto the praise of his glory. That God, here we are still on planet Earth, and we're waiting to go to be with you. That's correct. And until then, we ought to be to the praise of your glory. In fact, we ought to be delivered in your presence to the praise of your glory. Wow. That's what we're waiting for, God. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance, where is that? In the saints. You mean God has glory in the saints? Yep, God put it in them. God is the glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where'd it come from? I didn't get it. I don't have it in my pocket. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I received the glory. You can't have anything apart from God at all. God must be in all, for all, over all. That's his plan. And that's his wonderful plan for a human life. It's his wonderful plan for a new heavens and a new earth. That you'll find God, know God everywhere in any way, shape, or form. You'll know a wonderful God. No confusion, no competition, no conflict. A wonderful knowledge. Wow. Now, thus, if I may, chapter 3. And you would note. Chapter 3, please. And picking up, if I can, in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit, by his Spirit in the inner man, that God, everything is about you, glory, the glory, the wealth, I want to make an impression. He said to the Lord Jesus, John 5 and 20, the Father said, I am going to do a whole lot more in the Lord Jesus' life. I'm going to do a whole lot more so that everyone will have to pay attention to who he is. And here we are. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. We ought to walk as blessed people, having God's wonderful bliss, which is quite different than happiness. Wow. Here we are, God. Thus, sliding down to verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God, you can do whatever. That's right. I'm not telling you do whatever you want. Do whatever you want, God. My body for your is bought with a price. It's yours. Eyes, ears, nose, throat, use them. Do what you want with them. Honor yourself in them, with them. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much, God. Thank you. And in the process, what? Well, I'm going to look to you, God. I'm going to enjoy being a child of God. I'm not trying to be God. You aren't trying to be God. You aren't going to run the world. You aren't going to control anything. You don't. Everything is out of your hands. 99% of it is out of your hands. But you can be a testimony in the world, not being of it. A son. A wonderful son to live a life. My son is going to do a whole lot of wonderful things. And you will marvel. You will all marvel. You will be amazed. You will wonder. You will be astonished at what he does in the light of who he is. So when you come along, you believing heart, you are to be a wonder in the world. A wonder. You look and say, what is that? He isn't I belong to the so-and-so church. You say all that stuff. And that's fine. But to say they're a believer, and then you know that you're going to get clipped. And the world is going to say, like in yesterday, they don't want to know what church you go to. They want to know, where is your God? Where is your God? We aren't talking about being religious. We're talking about God. A relationship to God. They want to know where he is. Such a personal thing. A son. Yes. Yes, indeed. And so God, here we are. And in the church, here's the assembled body of the church. Not a club. It's a body. A wonderful body where God, in his wonderful presence, is exercised so that we, as a collective body of seekers and God-fearers and believers, that God can get to us and we can get to God collectively. Wow. Can't do that anyplace else. You can't do that. Only in the assembled body of believers. Wow. And now, and so here, God, what do I know? In this place, there's a golf out there, and there's all kinds of things out there, places to go, and the beach to go. Someone told me the other day, some beach in down south of us somewhere, had, I guess they can have a capacity of 60,000 people, and by 9 o'clock they were filled up. Now, I don't know if you could find any sand if there's 60,000 people. I don't know that you could. I don't know how that works unless you shove them all out into the ocean about a mile and a half. And then maybe, but hey, wow. But that isn't the same as this. This is like nothing anywhere. You couldn't duplicate this anywhere in the world except where believers are gathered together in my name. Verse 21. Unto him be glory, glory where? In the assembly, in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout ages, world without end. Amen. God, here in your wonderful, wonderful working is your glory and honor to be found. We ought to be to your glory and honor. We ought to know you and allow you to love us and us to love you. And you aren't going to love God until you let God love you. Not going to happen. No. You're going to have to look to God and allow him to be who he is and give us a wonderful a life, a kind of living, work, home, school, with all the hard and difficult things, little children, big children, growing up, work and job and government and everything. God has to help us to have a life, a relationship that shows itself in work, home, and school, that we are to be a wonder, an amazing thing, an amazing creature. And you won't get a Nobel Prize for it. You won't even be recognized. But you will be noted as different. You will be different. And the world will know that you were not, there was something different about you at work, home, and school. And you're able to point to the difference, to the Son of God. And when you point to the Son of God, you point to God the Father. And then you address him, my Father, my Father. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, what do we know? Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you that you're able to go and do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Thank you taking all of your wonderful word and your promises, the glory and honor that belongs to you, and outwork that in our lives. God, you have to do it. What are we going to do, God? We don't want to be religious. No good. We don't want to get caught up in ritual. That isn't going to help. God, we want to have a right and real relationship that is based on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, make that so in every boy and girl and man and woman. And our Father will thank you again for all that you're doing. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we can sing two stanzas of five.